Where's my reel-to-reel recorder? I can't find it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's September 13th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode 130.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you once again from the Crackpot Command Center, located in the minimum security containment cell, still under threat of eminent domain in San Francisco, Gitmo Nation West. I'm Adam Curry.
And from what I suspect to be a cloud buster at work in cloudy northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Yeah, man, did you hear that yesterday morning? Could you hear that where you were?
Are you kidding?
I take that as a yes.
So there's so I was looking at this. We have a weather pattern here, which is if you look on the when you want, if people out there want to go look at the really good satellite maps, you go to Purdue Unisys. You go to Google and type in Purdue University Unisys satellite, and there's a whole series of all the major satellites are documented at this Purdue University weather site, and so you can look at 24-hour analysis of the satellites. They show the water vapor satellite, they show the enhanced IR set, they show everything. So so here we are. We went out to dinner on Friday, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yes, we have to. Good point.
And so it was beautiful. It was like this. We're having our Indian summer here in California.
By the way, is it now officially over with all of this? Because I sure hope
no,
not.
No, no, no.
Okay, good.
No, this
good.
Is just a respite.
Temporary.
A respite.
Okay, right.
You know, it'll be. I don't know why this is even happening. It's pretty weird. So anyway, so then
it's
the
global warming, of course, John.
So then I guess it was it last night or the night before?
No, it was Saturday morning is when it happened for me.
Right,
8:33.
Yeah, you had to be, you probably slept through the best part, which was starting about 4 in the morning when the first thunder started coming through, which is rare. We don't usually have thunderstorms or lightning here, ever. And so there was like a lightning thunderstorm. In fact, on the map, the weather map on the Purdue site, they showed 255 strikes by 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Could I just interrupt you for 1 second?
Yeah?
Hold on a second. Nah, forget it.
What?
Nah, never mind. I'm sorry.
We're not streaming?
Yeah, no, we are streaming. It's just I wanted to do...
In the morning!
I couldn't find the button. We haven't used it in so long. I'm sorry.
This is our main button.
I couldn't find it. Right. I'm sorry.
We can do it again. Okay. So on Saturday morning.
In the morning.
I'll cut all that bullshit out. Don't worry. I got plenty of time to post the show.
You have zero intent of ever doing any post-production on the show.
No, no. I do from time to time. You know
yeah,
I do.
Sure. When somebody comes in or something.
No.
So, so there's all these lightning strikes. And so so I go and look at the satellite maps and I look at the 24-hour review and everything. And there's this like one little ball in fact, up in Washington State, my wife's going on about how it's 70 degrees and Oregon's game yesterday. There was a football game last night in Oregon at Eugene and it was 85. And so meanwhile, so I look at the map and there's this one little ball. It's just the smallest little storm. It's just by itself. And it just came into the Bay Area and it's supposed to have dissipated by now, but it seems to be lingering. And that, but I don't necessarily believe in this. But I do have a when I was a student, I did read a lot of stuff by about and by Wilhelm Reich.
Oh, yeah, Wilhelm, of course, is the Oregon Energy Man.
The Oregon Energy guy, which, you know, when you're a kid, it says something.
No. I love Wilhelm Reich and his sex energy and his anti-cancer wooden box. Oh, I've read so much about him. I love it.
Yeah, but you didn't read it. You have never read because you've never seen it. The stuff that was burned, there's still a lot of documents out there that did get distributed.
No, they put him in jail and they burned all of his research.
Yeah.
Because it was apparently so evil. Or could it have been actually right?
I don't know if it is right or not, but I had a number of the documents that were burned because some of them, I mean, it wasn't as though the stuff never got out.
Wait a minute. You have his missing documents and you've never sent them to me?
Them.
Well, could you please send them to me?
I don't know where they are. Are you kidding me? So,
yeah, what am I thinking?
What are you thinking?
All right, never mind.
If I find one or two of them, I think I loaned them out and they're long gone, but they still float around in the underground.
Call Leo and ask for them back.
And so, not to go into it too much, but most of his stuff, was like a very long newsletter. He was mostly claiming, which is the most of the stuff that was destroyed and very poorly documented in the later writings about Reich. He's mostly talking about, this is why I don't really want to get you these if I can even find them. It's mostly about flying saucers and the long-term strategy of aliens to do what is called desertification. So and there's a lot of writing about this.
Oh, I got to Google that while you're talking.
Yeah, desertification. I'm sure it's on the net all over the place. And the funny thing is I keep running into this desertification process. When you travel the world, you run into this. And he points it out. He says one of the things that they've been trying to do is just turn the whole globe into a desert, and it's going to take millennia to do it. But it's like
But this is a good start.
We've got to start here.
California now, is a good place to start as any.
And he's got this thing. He says, "Here's an example," and he shows these. It's like these temples and monuments, and you see this occasionally when you look. And he says it's not soot, but if you go to the middle of nowhere where there's no chance of soot, you'll find these old buildings that are decaying, these old cement and brick and mortar buildings, and they have this kind of black stuff on them. And you see it all the time. It's all over the place. And he says it's not soot. You can analyze. He says it's not soot, and it's not any specific mold. It's some weird alien stuff that is processing everything and turning it into sand. Anyway.
No. No, don't do it anyway. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. I'm looking at the wiki page right now. There's a picture of – oh, no, this is great. I love the desertification. Oh, my goodness. John, I love you. Thank you.
This will keep you busy for
for the rest of the year.
Just print it all out and read about it. So anyway, so one of the things Reich did, which I've always found fascinating, because every once in a while somebody – either runs into one of these things, or they build one, or something weird happens. These things called cloud busters.
Oh, of course, this is I know about that.
So a cloud buster is a bunch of pipes that's grounded to a big lake, usually some sort of freshwater source, that you aim it at the sky, and it forms a storm.
Well, Wilhelm Reich did a number of experiments where he actually showed this working.
Supposedly, and I've actually read documentation from some guy who ran into his original equipment and cranked it up and aimed it across the water or someplace, and a big storm and lightning storm appeared and started.
And these are literally like a series of tubes, right?
They're basically tubes.
Pipes, yeah.
Aluminum tubes, I think. Well, anyway, but the way it's described, the way Cloudbuster is described, and it's the way it works, matches almost just, point for point, checklist, checkbox by checkbox, what we experienced Friday night and Saturday morning. I mean, in terms of the nature of it. I mean, a screwball storm. Nobody predicted it. It came in out of the blue. There's nothing else around it. It doesn't seem to be part of a system.
And it wasn't just like a storm. I mean, I have this whole problem going on here where they're basically tearing the neighborhood down around me. So I'm kind of paying attention to construction noise, to complain. And that's a whole other story, which we should get into a different time. And at 8:30, I literally thought they had dropped one of these huge, like 40-foot drill bits onto the concrete. I'm like, holy crap, what are these guys doing now? And it was literally such a lot. It was a real explosion almost. And it woke me up, and I actually got out of bed, went to the window, threw open the sash, and just to see what was going on. And there was, of course, nothing was happening there. But then I saw the rain. I'm like, my God, that was a thunderbolt. It was one of the loudest I've ever heard in my life.
Well, there was quite a few of them, and they kept going on and on and on. And the rain wasn't that severe. There was hail involved. So it was hail
I didn't have
and
that.
Rain
I didn't
and have, the, well, yeah, the thunder and lightning.
I'm in the city. You're a couple miles away, so.
about 8 miles from there. But whatever the case is, it was all over the place, and it was flashing, and it was like, wow, boom, 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 boom. And but then I went and looked on the satellite map in the 24-hour loop.
So I can tell you what this was about. I mean, I have the theory ready for you immediately. Clearly. What? Well, it's very obvious. Saturday was September 12th. And Glenn Beck had organized all of these tea parties across the nation. So obviously, what do you want to do when you want to disrupt the people from protesting and marching? You create horrible weather.
Nobody in San Francisco listens to Glenn Beck. They picked the wrong place. Are they that dumb?
Well, it's not. They haven't quite perfected the cloud busting yet. They're working on it. They're trying. Hey, you know, I want to try some of this cloud busting. I'm sure someone out there, there's got to be some mad scientist in the Bay Area who has these series of pipes we can test with.
Well, I'm thinking if I was going to go with the conspiracy ideas and the cloud busting, I think that it was probably some crackpot up from Washington State who came down here to try to disrupt the Cal Eastern Washington game, which was going to be played in the Berkeley Hills that day.
Of course, it's entertainment related. Ah, excellent.
To try to slosh up the field so they give the guys a chance, even though it didn't work since Cal won 59-7. And so that didn't work out for him. There was some other event, there may be a protest.
Yeah, I'm thinking what else was going on out here on the Twitter. There must have been something else happening. But it makes so much sense. And by the way, there's a couple events I wouldn't mind disrupting. So I want to try these tubes.
Well, now the thing is, when you read about the tubes, it's supposed to be a dangerous because it involves this mysterious orgone energy, which also could be, for all you know, this dark a version of dark energy, which is the physicists are always talking about. It involves it in such concentrations that if you don't ground these pipes right, essentially it just sucks the life out of you and you find yourself like looking like an old man and dead in a week.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell me you get like old and gray all of a sudden, John. Stay away from those pipes.
You know, that kind of thing. So, so it's non-trivial. There are a bunch of people, I have to say. There are, because every once in a while, I don't bring this up much, and I don't usually mention the fact that I know anything about it.
It's okay. I'm riveted. Please continue.
Yes, I figured. But I'll tell you this, that once you mention it, like we just did, it'll probably cut down on our contributions to the show. But you'll hear from a bunch of crackpots, locals, that are deeply into the Reich stuff. And they probably have all of his material. And, you know, because, you know, all the newsletters and all these crazy things, which has all the documentation of the desertification and all the rest of it. And the construction details for the cloud busters. And they probably, you know, be glad to hear from you. They'll be glad to exchange email.
It's adam@mevio.com. I would love to. Hey, John, by the way, I've got something for you here.
Hello, Kettle. This is the pot calling.
You are a crackpot, man. You're an undercover crackpot.
Nope.
Yeah, you are.
So but you'll be hearing from these people, and here's what the results is going to be. I can see it coming a mile away.
Yeah.
You'll have an orgone energy box in your place.
What this? It is an orgone energy box.
A couple of the orgone blankets.
No, I've seen all that. I have not ordered an orgone box, but I have read it. And I'm
yeah, the blankets are fine. You can put it. You can use them as a.
It's supposed to either protect or even cure you from cancer, I believe. The orgone.
Here, I got
energy
one.
Box.
Here's if anybody wants to experience orgone energy, this is a parlor trick.
wait a minute. Okay, I'm real. Okay, let me record. Yes, go.
Get yourself a. You know, next time you have drink a can of Coca-Cola, which has the right coating inside, which can create this effect. It has to be a can of cola. You drink, when you dump it out, get all the thing out, and then stick your finger into the can, and you'll feel a warm, like it's warming up in there. You'll feel your finger warming up.
And that's orgone energy?
That's my guess, yeah.
So what is it, the carbonation or the
carbonate? No, I'm talking about an empty can with
empty can.
Wash it out so there's no water in there, nothing.
Oh, okay. I got it. But I thought it was supposed to work with wood, or like there's supposed to be a wood.
No, the way it seems to work is that with using a series of insulators that are stacked one next to another.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons some people will notice a difference in their body temperature if they stack wool against silk against cotton, and they, you know, then
the layering effect, as it were.
Yeah, but you could layer cotton, or wool, or cotton wool. But if you put silk in there somewhere, anywhere in the mix, or you have like a different combination of things, you'll find the effect to be somewhat interesting.
I am going to dedicate the next couple of days to looking into orgone energy again. I remember you told me about this a year ago, and I was so fascinated, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And please have a look and see if you can find some of the missing documents, which, of course, you have in that big pile of crap, which is known as your house. I would love to read some of those missing documents.
Yeah, well, if I run into one, they'll go in your box.
In the chat room, noagendachat.com, people are asking if it's orgone energy or the Sham Wow.
Here, camera guy, come here. You're ready to get a shot at
the Sham Wow.
Stick your finger in the Coke can. You'll have
just in case you didn't know exactly what's going on here. This is No Agenda, and here is our motto.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
All right, so
it's a simple but effective formula.
It really does work. It really does work. And we were having dinner, and I let's bookmark that to talk about dinner, because it wasn't bad, and at least worth reviewing. And we both realized that on Thursday's show, before the show had begun, we had both already received links and emails or had seen whatever copies of the video of the Acorn prostitution swindle. And we don't always agree on this show, but I think we both agreed right off the bat that thing is fake.
Until the Acorn people came out and fired those people.
Well, that still doesn't convince me. And there's a couple of things I want to say. First of all, if you don't know what this is about, then go to foxnews.com.
You'll find out fast.
Yeah, real quick. Or biggovernment.com. An undercover journalist, and I'm going to do big air quotation marks here, along with a... independent filmmaker, and this girl who acted in this video setup was I think about 20. The guy, by the way, I don't think we know his name, but haven't seen him anywhere.
This, oh no, I saw him. He was on Glenn Beck.
Okay, because Hannah Giles, who is the aspiring journalist, James O'Keefe is the name of the filmmaker. So what they did is I think a lot of people haven't heard about this, although most people who listen to our show probably have.
Oh, yeah.
They went into an Acorn office.
We can be assured of that.
Yeah. And not just one, but I think three. They did this three times, at least two that I know of. And they basically go in asking for help, tax advice, pitching themselves as a prostitute and her pimp. And not just any old prostitute, but she wants to set up a brothel with illegal underage girls. I mean, it's unbelievable. The first thing that I have to say when looking at this video, and, you know, how dumb are you when a girl who looks like Hannah Giles shows up and says, "I'm a prostitute"? Because, you know, this is Elliot's, if she was a prostitute, she was Elliot Spitzer quality material. I mean, this girl looks so good, she would be a $5,000 a night hooker, not just some kind of streetwalker.
She did not look like a streetwalker. She wasn't worn out looking.
I mean, she was beautiful, or she is beautiful. It totally, alarm bells would have been going off in my head from the get-go. It's like, oh, yeah, right, you're a hooker. Uh-huh. Well, funny.
Streetwalker, let's get it straight.
I know my hookers. She could not have been a hooker. No way. It was just absolutely no way. But more.
You get, I know.
Please, please give me a freaking break. And so, and I've watched the full unedited tape, which is pretty, or as they say, unedited, raw footage, whatever. And it's quite lengthy. But I'm also looking at how this thing is shot. I'm like, that was, you know, I've seen lots of undercover footage. This was spectacularly done. I mean, they're right on target. Everyone's center frame. I mean, how could this have been it wasn't like a hat cam or an eyeglasses cam. It must have been a bag on the table. But even then, the shot all of a sudden levitates. You've got a shot from above looking down. John, my feeling is, I don't know about the Baltimore one, but the Boston one. Look, you can hang up an acorn sign anywhere and put a couple of dumbbells in a room and make this up. And clearly this Hannah Giles, she must have been working for Fox or for Glenn Beck, or I've even seen, I was watching, what's that show, Red Eye, which is on at night on Fox? With that weird, weird guy with,
a weird guy on Fox.
Yeah, go figure. Huh. And he had, what's her name? Cups? Is that a journalist? Cups?
I don't know what girl? You're talking about.
Well, anyway, she said she slipped up. I think she's also a Fox stringer or journalist. She says, well, you know, Hannah's a really good friend of mine. I'm like, wait a minute.
Hannah's really?
Yeah. And I recorded it, but of course I didn't have time to pull the clip. I was like,
well, let's pull that clip, because I've got the clip of the two of them being interviewed by Beck. We'll do that on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And you pull that clip, because that makes things real interesting if that's true. Here's the way I saw the two of them with the last interview they did. It was on Beck. And they had Hannah and the guy with whatever his name is. What's, you have it?
O'Keefe. James O'Keefe.
O'Keefe. James. Jim. James. Who's a real kind of a he's kind of a thin, emaciated character, you know. He just seems like a phlegmatic or something, you know, just kind of a nervous John Doerr like guy.
Oh, that's great. Now let's compare this guy to one of my main investors. Thank you.
No, I'm just saying cool. In terms of his physique.
Yeah,
he's thin and shaky. And
keep going, please. This is good.
So, and Hannah is this, you know, she's 20, so she's not very old.
Oh, there's the 10 o'clock.
Yeah, here it goes.
I heard it going by.
She's 20 years old, and she is very pretty.
She is horrible. She is a horrible speaker for someone who wants to be a journalist.
I was surprised she wasn't as bad as you described her when it comes to her speaking.
Well, maybe she's gotten better in
She might, but she said that it was her idea.
Yes, yeah, she said, I was jogging, and then I saw some acorn people, and I thought, hey, why don't I go scam them? I'm like, huh?
Well, the way she said it, she said the way she further
described it. I saw her first appearance on Glenn Beck, so I think she's probably honed her story a little bit since then.
Well, the honed story is that she saw some acorn projects, some places that I guess they were somehow behind. And then she saw the offices and thought they were kind of shabby and wondered where all this money was going and wondered what the hell, what the deal was. And she decided to go in there and run a scam on them. And to find, and apparently she did it at more than one office.
Yeah, she did it in Baltimore, and I think there was another one.
Well, now the one in Baltimore is interesting because,
by the way, a lot of traveling, Boston to Baltimore, you know, just very elaborate. And she says she used all of her savings to do all
this.
There's
something fishy.
There's too many loose ends. There really is, and I love it when Adam and John come up with a conspiracy theory about something as beautiful as screwing acorn, you know, because of course I love it, right? What a fantastic setup! But it smells wrong to me. It really does.
So meanwhile, the thing that really is going to be interesting is to see how they deal with the fact that the district attorney, maybe looking into like this taping as some sort of illegally obtained.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The penalty for unlawful. Here's the way it goes. If it's determined that it's about the audio portion only of the YouTube video, if it was illegally obtained, It would be illegal under Maryland law. And they, by the way, they need these laws in Maryland and elsewhere to protect corrupt officials.
Yeah, who do exactly the same thing.
There is a corruption problem in the United States of America that needs to be protected by these laws that say you can't record somebody when they are when they're doing something illegal.
Yeah. By the way,
I mean the police can, but they need a warrant even for that. But I mean, this is in the open air. It seems to me that if you're standing in some place and you're talking to me, I should be able to record that conversation.
You know, that this is interesting, John, because I was oh my God, I have no life. Mickey's not here. I was watching Geraldo last night.
No!
Yes, yes. And so they were talking about the ESPN sportscaster who was filmed naked in her hotel room. You know that story, right?
Dude,
I gotta send you the link. You gotta see the video.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, she's fantastic. This is the awesomest video I've ever seen. So anyway, Geraldo is sitting there saying, because yeah, they always have like some failed lawyer who's like, well, you know, this, you can't just illegally videotape people through peepholes and blah, 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 blah. And Geraldo, I couldn't believe he was saying, well, no, that's not illegal. You can do that. He was actually defending
peephole
videos. I'm like, of course he is, because he wants to build a precedence for this, I presume, Fox setup of the Acorn videoing. So this is going to be a debate right now. Look, you can't wiretap people. You can't videotape people. Well, I'm sorry. In America, you can apparently wiretap people. But this will be a debate. I think we're onto something here. Is this legal or
right.
is it not?
I think it's going to. This thing is going to come to a head. These people are going to be in the center of it. But anyway, a violation of Maryland law, the Annotated Code of Maryland Courts and Judicial Proceedings, Article 10-402, which requires two-party consent. The penalty for the unlawful interception of the audio disclosure or use is a felony punishable of up to five years in jail.
I don't understand. How does this work? You know, I've been reading the book The Informant, which is about the Archer Daniels Midland price fixing scandal of the 80s, which, by the way, is coming out September 18th as a movie with Matt Damon. I will be doing a review on Thursday of the book. This is all about the illegal wiretapping and recording. And I think you'll see that this is going to be a major, major point of discussion, particularly as it pertains to wiretapping, to the Aaron Andrews peephole video, to the Acorn recording.
Oh, it was Aaron Andrews?
Aaron Andrews. Oh, my God. She is so... Oh, man. And at one point, she bends over the bathtub, John.
You have to wonder about if she's like... You know, she probably didn't want this.
Hold on a second. I just got
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for Jobs.
Sorry, I just had to disrupt myself for a second. Otherwise, I'll never get off it. Getting you a link to the video.
Yeah, actually, photos of Nancy Pelosi do help, too, by the way.
She's got a nice rack.
Who?
Nancy Pelosi.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you know, she's not an exciting woman.
Anyway, back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, Aaron Andrews.
Yeah.
Okay, well, send me that link. I have to check this out to see if it, maybe it's a fake.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm going to send you what they did apparently, and we'll send you the Google video page. What they apparently did is they reversed the peephole, the spy glass.
Oh, the door peephole.
They
What's
reversed
the door people
it?
Doing in a bathroom?
No. She's in her hotel room. So there's two videos.
She's in her hotel room. And yeah, somebody flipped the thing around.
Yeah,
backwards.
They flipped it around. So they held up the camera.
This,
like,
by the way, came from a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they.
Life imitates art. I love it.
This Kramer had a peephole, and he decided that it would be wise to reverse it. And Jerry kept asking why. He says, because somebody might be inside ready to sneak up on me, so I can look inside before I go in.
Well, Aaron Andrews has been on Oprah, and it was, you know how Bill O'Reilly does that facial expression segment where he has some so-called expert saying, well, look at how this person responds now, and they slow it down, and this is what this body movement means. This is what the raising of the eyebrows mean. So the assertion in that segment that he had was that she really isn't too disturbed by this video and the attention it has garnered her.
That's what I would first thing I would think of because it goes back to the Paris Hilton and all the rest of these women
exactly.
who have gotten huge publicity
and you say
mileage.
That and if you look at Erin Andrews. She has a bit of Paris Hilton look in her face, I might add.
And she, the other thing is typically the women who do this, it's not as though she's a fat pig that's embarrassed by the thing.
Although I will say that if that had happened to me, first of all, that would be very sad and hurtful for most people's eyes. But,
turn down your speakers!
You're so low now, it's ridiculous. That wasn't me. Or you're yelling.
No, well, I'm excited. What can I tell you? If I traveled a lot and I was in hotel rooms a lot, which I am, and this had happened to me, I definitely would be, worried every single time. Knowing that that could happen to you, that's freaky. I mean, that could definitely freak anyone out. So I don't want to disparage this for her because, shit. I mean, it's wrong.
You want my advice?
Yeah.
Check the peephole.
Yeah, peephole check is good. Now, there's many.
I always check the peephole anyway. I just want to see what, I look at, I look through it to see if, what you can see.
I'm trying to think what it was in the UK. Was it in the UK many, many years ago? Some guy was bringing a trial again. It was like some sex offender trial, something about porn. And they put a camera in this guy's hotel room, and they basically filmed him masturbating to porn movies.
Oh God!
I gotta look that story up. It was a good one.
So I'm looking. I put Erin Andrews in Google, and then hit the images.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap!
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Well, she's got a nice figure.
Oh my God, she's beautiful. But a lot of women, and we should get off this topic, but a lot of women, when they don't know they're being filmed, and this is something, there's something to be said for this. When they don't know they're being filmed, they're really, the gut comes out a little bit. They do kind of not really attractive stuff. It's like, they're like human beings. But when they know that they're being looked at, the gut is in, they're standing straight, they're twirling their hair. I'm just saying.
Do you think by observing this video, which I won't look at, but by observing this video, would you analyze it as though she knew she was being filmed?
I would say it's possible.
Because she kept the gut in and she was like always looking good?
Yes. I would say it's possible. I would say, again, it's a horrible thing for this to happen. I mean, I was paparazzi a couple times in Holland, in situations outside, stuff that was in personal situations. And then you see the show up in a magazine, and I'm like, oh my God, I really didn't know there was someone there waiting for me, looking for me, and taking my picture. And it feels weird. I mean, this has been going on since I've been 19, but it's like, oh shit, man. It you feel a little violated.
It's creepy.
It really is a creepy feeling. So I'm all for that. But that, of course, is why celebrities make the big bucks.
So here's Erin Andersen on the cover of FHM magazine. I sent you the link.
Hmm. Is this new?
No, I don't know if it's new or not. I mean, I think I've seen her work, on and off on. It's a competitive business.
Is she good? Is she a good journalist? Is she a good reporter?
That's the thing. I don't remember her. I mean, there's a bunch of ones I've watched and I thought are pretty good. There's one in particular, this blonde. I can't remember her name offhand. But she's kind of interesting because she's I can't remember her name, but I think she's still at ESPN. She's interesting because she moves in and cozies up to the players and actually pushes herself up. She's like a masher.
I like it.
And the guys are like, you know, and they, so they actually they get very kind of.
What are the guys? What are the guys like, John?
They get tense. And so,
All right. Well, let's move off of this, but let's keep our eye on it. So, a couple of things. First of all, the legality of taping someone. And I've always understood, by the way, that you are not allowed. And I think this is true pretty much everywhere. It's like a, and of course there are human rights. And unless of course you're the prince and princess of the Netherlands, then you can't take any pictures or publish them no matter what you're doing. You know, you have to have the New World Order power to stop that. But otherwise, I believe there's going to be a big, broad discussion about is it legal to film someone? Is it legal to film someone if they're a celebrity? Is it legal to film or photograph someone if they're in the privacy of their own home? Is a hotel room considered your home temporarily? I mean, this will be a discussion. It's coming up. Mark my words.
Well, that thing with Aaron Andrews is obviously illegal because that's like shooting pictures through the window. The thing with the taping or the getting the vocal off of a YouTube clip or from a movie that you took, I think it's state to state. I think the more corrupt states like Maryland apparently would have more of these laws than other states. Because look at what 60 Minutes does and all these other.
To catch a predator? It's okay if if it's a predator. But it's not going to be okay. So there's a lot,
I think they run those shows in states where that law doesn't exist. I think this is not a federal law we're talking about.
I think most of those shows are rigged, John. That's what I'm thinking.
I think a lot of those shows are rigged.
It's all rigged.
Although they can find these, my favorite Catch a Predator, which I think is the sleaziest show ever, they cut one guy and then like 3 weeks later they cut the same guy.
Yeah, this
he's like some cross-eyed little twerp that's like, oh, okay, I didn't know I was doing the wrong thing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. For me, the takeaway from this, and as I said, I'm home alone right now, although actually my daughter's coming out next week. It's going to be great. She's going to be here for a while in the Bay Area. My takeaway is that, you know, we never watch television, really. There's a couple of things we watch. You know, Mickey forces me to watch Real Time with Bill Maher, but that's great because I get to go, oh, brother, all the time. I get to do a little.
That show just gets worse by the week.
Yeah, more about that in a moment. And then from time to time, we'll watch Real Housewives of .. But I find myself, you know, with plenty of stuff to do, on the couch, and before you know it, 4 hours has passed. 4 hours! I'm like, I've been completely hypnotized. I'm sitting here as a lethargic noob. Boob. And I'm like, and I have been in television. Even in 1982, we were faking shit on television. Yeah, I have a satellite interview with Janet Jackson. Bullshit. I was just timing my questions in the answers of an electronic press kit, which, by the way, came on videotape.
And by the way, most of the people, you hear these all the time. Not as much as you used to. They used to come on vinyl. You used to get these things at the radio station.
Oh, yeah. You get the.
You could play it like three times
and it would be all cruddy.
Right. You had your main guy at the station. You put the vinyl thing on and he would interview this person who was just a bunch of clips, which, by the way, is where I think it's the TV show later called Space Ghost kind of did a takeoff on this on the cable network where they would take these interviews and then they would just take the answers and then redo the questions.
Yeah.
So they're just crazy.
Well, like the Jon Stewart show. It's the, when what's her name? Samantha Bee goes and interviews politicians and then she does all the crazy questions and then they have the answers edited in.
Yeah, I wore the dumb looks.
I mean, people don't really know how. Here's how it works. So, or how it used to work. You go to interview somebody, and this still happens this way every single day. It's a one-camera shot, right? And then you see the conversation on television, and you see the over-the-shoulder from the interviewer, and then it'll switch back, and you see the interviewer's questions.
Which is called B-roll, and that's what it's referred to.
Well, we call it noddies. In fact, most, certainly politicians, but most celebrities know, you do the interview is done with the camera over the interviewer's shoulder, and then after the interview is done, you always have about 5 minutes left, and the producers who's there will say, okay, we need to do some noddies, and what that means is they then reverse the angle, put it behind the celebrity so that you have the interviewer nodding, going, interesting. And then also, when the celebrity then leaves, then they'll keep that camera shot, and the interviewer will ask all of the questions again. And then that's edited together to give you the impression that there's an actual conversation going on, shot with multiple cameras. Oftentimes, you can see that either the person answering or the person asking the question, you'll see their mouth or the side of their face moving, not in sync with the words.
Oftentimes, always.
All the time. Yeah, right.
I have never seen an interview done with that technique where you haven't seen the...
It is time for me once again. I do it just about once every year. The Zen TV experiment. You must read this article. I'm going to put it in the show notes at No Agenda Show. .com. The Zen TV experiment really helps you understand and gives you a number of hey, last time I posted this was when did I post this? July 15th, 2007. Wow, I skipped a year, I guess. I'm going to put that in the show notes. It gives you a couple of exercises. Yeah, it gives you a couple of exercises. So you can understand how television fools you consistently. I mean, consistently. And I just realized yesterday, nothing is real. It is all, this is the Matrix. This is the Matrix.
So anyway, when I was at Tech TV, we used to do the Silicon Spin Show. And so they kept redesigning it because the guy who was running the network just thought that Chris Matthews was the greatest guy in the world. And who was on the channel at the same time I was on, so he obviously never watched my show ever because he's just watching Chris Matthews. So one day they decided to change the format of the show completely.
Yeah.
So it was like basically fashioned after Chris Matthews, and so they had, but we had to have satellite feeds. You had to have these remotes. So they brought
because
these people
cool.
in. They brought these people into the studio and sat them in a chair across the studio with a camera on them and put them in a box as though they weren't there.
It's a remote. Well, that's like the, you know, there's legendary YouTube footage of, I think, Gulf War One, where the guys are in a blue screen studio putting on their gas masks and helmets like there's going to be a chemical attack. And that literally it wasn't green screen in those days. It was blue screen. They're literally in a blue screen box that's supposed to be the hotel lobby of the Baghdad Hilton. And they've got, they do have a real tree, like a lobby palm tree sitting there. And they're like, oh, they're running around, but it's in a studio. I mean, this trickery is
well,
that's
even
what
when
it
they're
is.
Remote, I mean, even on the remote, if you remember, there's a bunch of YouTube videos about the, you know, the person doing their, oh, we have this huge flood and this like everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the guy walks by in waders, you know, it's like an inch thick.
Oh yeah. Well, so turn it off is what I'd say. And the only thing that really works is live television. And even that is tricked out to no end these days. They're so good. I mean, they're so good. Do you remember that, what was that, Flight 504 or whatever, that with that awesome video which came out around 2002 where there's a guy driving on the highway and all of a sudden this plane lands on the highway right behind him?
I don't remember that.
Mm. I'll have to look that up. I think it was Flight 504. It's a joke. It's a joke video, but it is so well done. And when you realize what is possible, as far back as 2002, or dare I say, as far back as 19.
If you want to see what's possible, I mean, the place, I think the first movie that exploited this to the max, not in terms of CG, you know, like Star Wars, but in terms of like faking reality, was the, what's that movie with Tom Hanks where he played the running guy, was an idiot?
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. There are scenes in there that are just, I mean, thousands of birds and all these things that never existed in the real world. It looks absolutely it looks absolutely real. I mean, now the giant war movies, they have people that are, you know, it looks like they're fighting in the background and all this stuff. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing has gotten to the point where you can just create reality. And I think Wag the Dog kind of told this story about how you can do this.
Ah, John, thank you. I have led you down exactly to where I want you to be.
What, a Wag the Dog?
Yes, because my belief is that it was missiles that hit the Twin Towers, and that people did, what you saw, everyone says they saw the planes hit. They saw it on television. There were only 5 video feeds available at the time, all used by the same networks. There was a 17-second delay in the live feed. My belief is that video trickery was used on 9/11.
WTC7 won't go away.
So, then you sent me a link to this horrible film run by a bunch of crackpots.
No, I gave you the film only for the aviation pieces because I, as an airman, fundamentally disagree with what is the official story in the 9/11 Commission report and the NIST report. Only the aviation pieces, the speed of aircraft at the altitude they were flying, the maneuvers being made. I only say the video, of course, is a crackpot video. But if there's no other way to convey this information to non-aviators, if you don't, even the black box data, which was sent by the government, right? It just doesn't add up. The plane that flew into the Pentagon actually overflew it by 250 feet, according to their own data, because they forgot to adjust or doctor the data for the altitude pressure setting on that very day. So I'm not saying anything else than that as an aviator, as an airman, their data does not add up, and you got to clear that up for me. Until you do that, I don't believe anything else that's in the report.
Well, that's fine, but I tell you this, there's no way that after that first building was hit, missile or no missile, that everybody in New York City wasn't looking up at those two towers and the second plane came in.
Do
and
you
it was
realize,
coming in at slow
yes,
speeds
yes,
unless
John,
it was a
and,
cruise
yes,
missile.
And there are hundreds of mainstream media news reports of people saying it was a small plane, it looked like a Cessna, it looked like something military, and when you look in the sky, do you know how hard it is to determine the size of an object when you look in the sky? A cruise missile can easily be mistaken for an airplane, particularly if you're looking for an airplane. It's going to look like an airplane.
Yeah, but why would you be looking for an airplane?
Because you just heard that an airplane hit the first tower, so
no,
you're
I'm
looking
talking
up.
About the thousands of people that weren't watching television that were down on the ground looking up.
And those people are on record saying it looked like a small airplane.
That's just starting to show up on record. I'd like to hear from some people. We have listeners that, I'm not buying all these crazy reports that come in from these crackpots who are obviously nutcases, because you can just see, take a look at their own websites, and these people are unbalanced. And so they go find people that said, this, or people that will just say anything, because I can go out in the street right now and have just say, hey, here's what I want you to say. Can you do that? Oh, yeah, sure.
John, of course you can. Of course. I totally agree. So let's take it away from the video. Let's just forget the fact that if you watch the official news footage that of the second tower, that the nose of the airplane that goes in comes out the other side intact. You can actually see it coming out the other side of the building with the nose intact. Okay, so something's doctored somewhere, either in these, so maybe it's a bogus recording of the video, maybe it was something that was done live in the 17-second delay. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. All I'm saying is things like the flight path from the flight data recorder, which, by the way, rebooted 18 times in the short flight it made. The claim or assertion that a 737 can fly at 550 miles an hour at 1500 feet is bullshit. It is physically impossible. The engines will not even stay lit. The wings would be ripped off. You cannot do that. It is just not possible. So they have to either explain to me why they came up with that number, and how about those phone calls? How about those? There were no air phones on those aircraft in 2002. They'd been taken out. And there was no technology to make cell phone calls from airplanes at the time. Yet we have 10, 20, 30 different recordings, people calling back. That's technology that just wasn't there at the time. That's all I'm saying. I know aviation. That's all I know. The maneuvers that were made, no frickin' way.
I think you've made yourself clear on this point more than a few times.
let's move on. Did you hear about the big explosion in Ontario?
No, I have not heard about a big explosion in Ontario.
The pipeline, the Trans-Canada natural gas pipeline blew up.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I mean, why do we hear about this, right?
This is news to me.
Yeah, no, why would we put that on the air when we've got Aaron naked? Give me a break.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I got it for you.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
An explosion along a Trans-Canada natural gas line in northern Ontario on Saturday sent a huge column of fire into the sky. One man who was 2 miles away, it actually sent him and his two sons flying through the air.
Oh, God.
Let me see what the... a pillar of fire about 200 meters high, that's 600 feet, possibly higher. So they literally blew up a piece of the pipeline, which I presume is kind of important.
Yeah, it's amazing they can fix those things as fast as they can.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I just find it interesting. Isn't Canadian gas important, or is it only the oil that's important that comes from Canada?
No, both.
Well, wouldn't that be something?
We use more gas than oil.
Wouldn't that be something to say, like, "Hey, damn, we got to shore this up. We got to do something."
I don't know. Maybe they don't want. Maybe they don't want us to say these things.
Let me just do a little Google.
So there's a couple of.
Go ahead.
Well, I lost my train of thought just in the middle of it.
Step away from the orgone machine.
There's like these rays coming in through the window. I don't know what they are.
Step away from the orgone machine. Calgary Sun, Trans-Canada Line. There's not a single... I don't see a single U.S. publication reporting on this.
This is... Okay, now I got my thought back. This is reminding me of the numerous breaks in the various pieces of fiber around the country that have been caused by vandalism, as they like to put
it.
Oh,
right. I'm
totally convinced that there's somebody or some group or somebody's testing the network. And in other words, if you break, let's say if I break the fiber here, here, and here, what are the results? Okay, I see what the results are. And then I break the fiber here and here, what are the results? In other words, I'm reverse engineering the grid in such a way that I know which two or three places to break permanently to bring down the net.
Right.
And nobody reports on this because it's, I don't know why. I wrote it up on a Twitter thing for people to report to me when they had local events.
And then Twitter went down.
I got a whole bunch of them. I mean, people said, well, yeah, there's one in Chicago. There's one over here. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky that happened, blah, blah, blah. And it's just one. And they're just scattered all over the place. So it's not like you can put your finger on, you know, on anything because it's like, you know, local event here, local event there. Because we don't, you know, our national news doesn't really try to consolidate many little local things that are coincidental. So you could do a lot of research in the country because it's so big by doing little local things like rob a bank or search.
Hey, that's a good idea, kids. Go out and rob a bank.
I mean, because if a bank is robbed in Charleston, South Carolina, and like they shoot everybody in the bank or gas it or they do something weird like they use sarin gas at the bank robbery or something strange happens, and the network news doesn't pick it up and they won't because it's just in Charleston. You don't know that, you know, this is part of a bigger scheme because you're never going to hear about it.
Exactly. I mean,
you're not going to hear about it in Houston.
Well, but even things that happen in our nation's capital, you don't really even hear about. You may have heard briefly, just briefly, about the panic on the Potomac? You didn't even hear about that, did you?
No, I remember something about it.
Okay, so all of a sudden, briefly though, because it immediately got squashed, there was this report that a Coast Guard...
Right.
A Coast Guard boat was firing on a private craft. Well, hold on a second.
Which is funny in itself.
Well, it's funny unless you think that I believe there was actually an assassination attempt on the president, and I'll tell you why. The way this was passed off is that the Coast Guard was on 9/11. That the Coast Guard was doing a drill, a practice with firing guns. But in reality, the president was about to cross in his motorcade, was about to cross the bridge on, I think it's I-395. I'll have to look that up in a moment. And at the exact same moment as his motorcade is approaching this bridge, which then the Coast Guard starts, well, this is what I think happened. They start firing on this private craft. And it is my belief that there was a plot to blow up the bridge at the moment the president's motorcade crossed it. And even if that's a crazy crackpot theory, it's at least worth mentioning that all this stuff took place when the president was going right over this so-called exercise. And there is one, the Baltimore Sun reported on it. And they at least have some of the facts. During the exercise, which began at 9:30 a.m., four 25-foot patrol craft churned up the surface of the river while a Coast Guard helicopter zoomed overhead. Now, CNN, unaware that it was only a simulated confrontation, which was monitoring police radio frequencies, relayed the Coast Guard conversations to its audience. Within minutes, Reuters news agency and Fox News Channel picked up the CNN story. So then it was like, oh my God, there's something going on. They stopped traffic at Dulles Airport. They shut everything down. And then immediately the word goes out, no.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
And then they retracted the story. But President Barack Obama, who attended the Pentagon ceremony with his wife Michelle, crossed the Potomac Bridge close to the scene around the time that the exercise was underway. Okay, so that's according to the Baltimore Sun. I believe that there was an assassination attempt on the president. It is certainly not unthinkable.
No, I mean, the presidents today are, there's constant plotting going on. This is why the Secret Service is like so, has to be so.
Oh, well, I'll take it one step further. I think that the CIA and are at war, technically, with the Obama administration.
Well,
and I think
it's an interesting.
I think CIA is still pretty much they're Cheney's boys and Bush's boys. And maybe even Bill Clinton's boys to some degree. And they are like, they're just not taking any shit. They're not listening to him. That's why Obama has his own little force that he set up to... CIA can't interrogate terrorists anymore. No, my guys are going to do that. I think there's a war going on between the CIA and the Obama administration.
I've heard stranger things. It's a possibility, but they're going to have, I don't know. It's a good theory. I like the idea of the, cause the whole thing was a little sketchy, this Coast Guard thing. And then somebody got reprimanded for, well, what were you thinking? It was 9/11.
It's the same thing.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for Air Force One, to fly so close to Manhattan and circle around. That was just stupid. We'll fire the guy or he'll resign. No. I don't believe this shit. I really, really, really don't. And there's stuff with other leaders going on.
The Air Force One incident flying around Manhattan that day is a good example of. Saturday Night Live just did a rerun last night on that took place during that incident, and they made this point, which is very easy. So why is this thing flying around at all? You can Photoshop it anywhere, and they showed it Photoshopped.
Yeah.
In a bathroom and
exactly
Photoshopped.
Trickery exactly.
So what's the point of actually having to take these pictures when you can just fake it?
Well, that
cheaper. By the way. Flying a 747 around for a half hour is not it's expensive. I mean, you can have all the Photoshop experts in the world that do a better job.
Yeah, it's about
It'd be a better job.
And I will say that these theories that run around in my head about the CIA and Obama actually lead me to believe or to at least consider that Obama is kind of a good guy and actually trying to make something good happen. But he ain't going to get too far with the CIA killed JFK. We all know that. Forget about it.
Well, we'll see. I don't think you can afford to, I don't think the government can afford to assassinate a black president. The repercussions would be ridiculous.
Should I tell you something else?
I think you should actually protect it. No. I think you'd be more likely to be protected.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something that I've also noticed, and maybe this ties into it. And boy, we're really on our crackpot roll today, aren't we?
Yeah, it's because we started with the Wilhelm Reich craziness.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'd appreciate it. Watching Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday night. And I do not like this program. Actually, sometimes Maher says something like, yeah, okay, I'm down with that. I agree with that. But here's what he's saying more and more and more. And he had Kathy Griffin on, who actually said it out loud a couple of times. It appears now, this is kind of the meme, if you are against Obama, or if you yell, you lie, at an address to the Joint House.
By the way, just as an aside, in the Parliament of Great Britain or Canada,
they do that all the time.
They it's like you're crazy not to do
it. But you actually say, but it's different. There is a difference because the way they do it is, the honorable gentleman is a liar. You have to say the honorable gentleman.
That's in Great Britain, but you haven't seen the Canadian Parliament. Yeah. The Canadian Parliament is completely out of control. They yell, you suck!
The same thing is happening in Australia as well, by the way. They've had a couple of big fights there. But anyway, we digress. If you are against Obama, you these days are pretty much deemed a racist. And this is what Bill Maher does. If you have a chance, John, if you have a chance to look at a replay, otherwise I have it recorded.
I'll look at it. It plays all week.
Bill Maher is saying this. You can watch the beginning, the middle, the end. You can fast forward. Every single time he says, these people aren't against his policies. They just don't like the idea of a black man in the White House. And I think this is a meme that I am very, very afraid of, because this is a perfect setup to assassinate the first black president and then start an all-out, godforsaken, fucked-up civil war in the United States. It's a setup. It is a setup. And Coulter saying it, of all people. But Bill Maher, man, in his monologue, in his interviews, in his panel discussion, it's always like they, the conservatives, but with that he means Republicans, they just don't like the idea of a black man in the White House. He's saying it straight up. And that, to me, in itself is a racist comment. And it's incendiary. It's so wrong on so many levels, and no one's calling him out on it. Hey, let me call him out. Bill Maher, stop that shit, you dick. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. I've noticed this too. And Maher, of course, I can't take it anymore anyway. Of course, you have to wonder why he's even got this show.
Thank you. Another good point.
Because he's not the best of breed.
And do we remember Bill Maher, what happened? Most people don't remember this. John, you and I are both old enough. On September, either 11th, probably the 12th or the 13th, he had a show in New York. It was a network show, but it was...
He was on ABC. It was ABC. Called Politically Correct.
Politically Incorrect.
Incorrect, right.
And he said...
Which was bullshit because it was so politically correct, it's ridiculous.
I think it was called Politically Incorrect.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Right.
It wasn't politically incorrect.
And he said on his show, you know, actually the real heroes here are the terrorists. It takes a lot of balls to use box cutters to hijack a plane and then fly it to your death into a tower. This guy, it was the outrage of the week. He got kicked off the air immediately. Sponsors pulled out from the entire network. And this guy was, I think he went to live in Australia for a year or two. Literally, he left the country, didn't he? I think he had to actually leave the country.
Well, he also, don't forget to add insult to injury, he called American soldiers cowards using cruise missiles instead of having the balls to go in there with the box cutters or whatever. It was a I actually watched that show.
I watched the show too. I was sitting there, I was going like, well, I understand your point, but
I thought my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah, of course. I was like, you
guy
just killed
is
yourself.
So naive to say this at this moment. He is fucked.
And he was. And now he's back with all of this? Nah. And how did he get that? How could anyone say, you know what? I think I'll take you on, man. I think I'll give you a show. That's really good. Let's bring back Bill Maher. How quickly we forget when we're in shock, because that we're still in shock from 9/11. We are completely in shock, which is how the financial terrorists were able to go and steal our money. And why now it's happening. These things, I really believe, and whether there's a global conspiracy or not.
You're suggesting that Marr is a stooge.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Or a bagman for some other, an intellectual bagman, let's say.
Yes.
For some other group that has an agenda.
And something else interesting happened on the show. He had on his program Congressman Anthony Weiner. And what's interesting about Weiner is that in the early 90s, he was a councilman in New York, in Brooklyn, I believe. And CNN asked me to do an episode of one of their kind of hip political programs. And their idea was, let's have the young MTV guy go interview the young councilman. And so I hung out with him for a whole day. I interviewed him on the street, meeting old people. I interviewed him in a pool hall and his neighborhood pool hall. But he was Chuck Schumer's boy. And so I actually went and interviewed Chuck Schumer. And I'll never forget that interview because I had my questions, but I really was not aware politically at all. I didn't know shit. Not that I know anything now, but certainly a lot less. And I remember these questions that CNN had basically given me. And I asked a couple of questions, and they must have been real, like, softballs or something. And Schumer just ripped me an asshole. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about here. This guy is running circle. I mean, this is not, you know, Madonna who I'm interviewing. This is a dude who really knows what he's saying. And watch this guy. Watch Anthony Weiner. Very interesting guy. Actually, not pro-Obama, pro-presidency in general, had some really interesting things to say about healthcare, stuff that you and I would actually agree with and kind of like, John. But it's very fun for me to see how Chuck Schumer's guy is set up, and now he's brought into Bill Maher's show. Watch this guy. Watch this guy. He's going to rise very quickly to stardom. And he literally came from either the Bronx or Brooklyn, I can't remember, as a councilman. And I don't know how, all of a sudden, you know, like 15 years later, the guy's a congressman. I don't remember that happening. It's very, very interesting. And it just, to me, adds more fuel to the fire that burns inside me that we know nothing. We know nothing about how it actually works. And it's a big game and we're not in it. Politics is show business for ugly people.
Well, we're not in it, but for one thing, the people out there who listen to this show, and we have plenty of listeners, and a lot of them give us money. One thing for sure, we're decent, not probably the best in the world, but because we have some personality. We're decent at deconstructing as best we can some of these things that take place in front of us. In fact, I think the deconstruction of the SEIU thing we did last week, or you did actually, you came up with it, was just a stunner. And some of these other things, these theoreticals that we're dreaming up as we try to make sense
of the world, of the situation. World.
Well,
of
no, the world. But make sense out of things like, you know, and let's ask the question again, why is Bill Maher on HBO at all? Not that he doesn't deserve to work. It's just that he's not the best of breed for that kind of a show. Why is he on that show? I mean, and out of the blue, after doing what he did on the other show, which is burn the network and burn the sponsors.
And so Bill Maher, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, who's the dude with the big head on MSNBC, Oberman. These guys are making millions and millions of dollars. We're sitting here twice a week. It's about 3 hours. We have no writers. We have no staff. I certainly feel we put ourselves out there in some form of peril in many ways. If we were important,
we could be pied any minute.
This show, you will never, ever, ever hear a show like this on the radio. You'll never see a show like this on television. You may see some bits of it written about here and there, but probably only on the internet. You'll never see it in the New York Times. And I agree, John, the value that we provide by deconstructing, telling you how television works, telling you how media works, both having, you know, a combined 40, 50 years of experience in the business, you can't get anywhere. And we'd like to do more of it, and people do support us, and we don't have commercials, we don't have sponsors. All we ask for is that you keep us going, really keep us motivated. I have to say, it's part motivational, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit around and do this shit for free. I want to feel like I'm getting some reward, just an you know, sometimes, yeah, it's great when I get an email from a 16 or 17 year old kid who's saying, hey man, I really like what you're saying. I don't agree with everything, but it gives me stuff to think about. I talk about it with my friends. I try to turn them on to it. But there are a lot of people listening to this show, and we'd like you to help us donate. It motivates. It helps us do certain things. Like go out to dinner and review them, which we should probably do before we shut down the show. And by the way, I'd be amiss if I didn't mention that there's a two to the head we have to talk about before we shut down.
Okay, well, let me go and mention some names that are some of our contributors this week.
Are you regurgitating your notes?
Silly, I don't have the sound effects machine. Anyway, we did get a lot of people that helped us out this week, and I want to thank them individually. Anyone who gave over $50 or $100, we like to mention. Kevin Hartle, $51 in Roscoe, Pennsylvania. We got a lot of international gifts this week. Andrew Tong from Hong Kong gave us $89.64, which has some meaning. You can try to figure it out while I continue. Neil Liston, who is in Edinburgh. Is there a place, Lothians, UK?
Yeah. Lothians.
Okay, well, he gave us $75. Thanks, Neil.
8964 is a graphics card.
8964? Maybe he's the inventor of it. Andrew Tong, anyway. William Arcand, $123.45, which is actually 12345.
Nice,
it's pretty cute.
Nice, yeah.
He's in Dracut, Massachusetts. Richard Howard gave us $150, and he's in the ritzy neighborhood of Prospect Heights, Illinois. And we want to thank him profusely. And then we have Stan Van de Burgt, B-U-R-G-T.
Van de Burgt?
Yeah, yeah, in Utrecht.
Utrecht.
Utrecht, and he gave us $101, which is, I think, for him was, I think, 20 euros.
and some loose change.
So, you know, thank you for the 20 euros. Jeremy Manor, Forestville, California, Wine Country, gave us $104.20. Charles Moe in Lafayette, Colorado, 50. And here's one from Merzig, Deutschland, and it's J-A-A-P-M-E-I-J-E-R, which I'm assuming is just Jaap Meijer or Mayer.
Jaap, yeah.
That's what I'm guessing, $50. And then we have our seventh woman to listen to the show is giving us Jennifer, and this is another one that's a hard one. It's C-H-O-C-H-O-L-A-C-E-K, which I'm thinking is Coco Lachik. And she can correct me if I'm wrong.
Where's she from?
Calgary, Canada.
Right on.
Home of the Calgary Stampede. I'd recommend people go there.
I have
there.
Been to the Calgary Stampede. I did an MTV shoot up there. That's fascinating.
I've been wanting to go. It's supposed to be one of the great
shows.
Oh,
my God. I still have they gave me, because, you know, when you're the MTV guy, they gave me a huge Calgary Stampede belt buckle, which I still have somewhere, probably right underneath the pile of the missing Orgone papers.
I'm sure that's where it is.
Yeah. Great show. I agree. Great show. Great thing to go witness if you want to see some good old plain entertainment that doesn't include electronics.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be fantastic. Anders Wald Eldhuset, E-L-D-H-U-S-E-T, Eldhuset. He's in Sandsli, Norway.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us $50. I'm sure I butchered his name. James Briscoe, a little easier one from Bayshore, New York, gave us $76.97, which obviously has some significance. You can try to figure it out. And then a company called Divided Dawn in Castor, Netherlands. Is there a Castor?
Spell it.
C-A-S-T-O-R.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not familiar with it.
50. And finally, Manfred Hurtenberger gave us $55, which is obviously some
can't drive 55. That's it. Can't
55,
drive 55.
Don't drive 55. But this is, I believe, it's our first gift from South Africa.
Oh, dankjewel, South Africa.
There you go.
See, my Dutch is only good in Holland and South Africa.
So it seems to be good on the phone. You're always yakking in Dutch. So. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for these donations. I also want to thank the people who give us the $5 monthlies and the $2 that used to give us the $2 monthlies, but the five, we have such five now.
And the people who rebroadcast us on their low power FM transmitters.
And there's still people that give us $10, $15, $20, and, you know, I still have a couple. Somebody keeps giving us $49.95.
And how about our buddy who does the artwork? By the way, I have not seen a new piece of artwork from him.
That's okay. We have stuff we can cover for him.
What's his name again, though?
Ah. You forgot his name already?
Yeah.
We need to have a big sign with these guys' names on them. These guys are the volunteers.
Derek Bolly? Is that his name? No.
Is it Derek? I thought Derek did something else.
No, Derek does. You're right. Derek does something else. Keep going.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody, and all these minor amounts is great. But anyway, go to No Agenda. Show noagendashow.com or dvorak.org/NA and hit one of the contribution boxes, and we need your help. This is just a week by week thing, so I mean, it's not as though, you know, everyone's okay, we got our money, now we can do the show. It has to be like always coming in, and so we have to keep asking over and over and over again. I don't want to overdo it, but the fact of the matter is I think you're getting 3 hours a week or 12 hours a month.
Yeah, just think about all the 4 hours you sit down in front of your television per day, right? All the damage that is being done, and all the crappy commercials you have to watch, you know. And by the way, you give to PBS, please. Have you seen those guys' offices? Have you seen the cars they drive?
Yeah, they're living
the life of Riley. Jeez. Oh, anyway, my goodness.
We're producing about 144 hours a year. If you could give us, like, you know, even a dollar an hour.
An hour, yeah.
You would give us 144 bucks. I know there's a lot of people out there that are slightly guilt-ridden about the fact that they listen, and we do. You know, we are not taking any advertisement, and that's the way we want it to stay.
And both John and I would quit all of our jobs if we could do this full time. At least I'll just reassert that I would. If I could do this 5 days a week, of course, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
5 days a week. We don't want to blow these people, blow their minds 5 days a week. Can you imagine doing going the 5 days, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week?
Not 3 hours, and that's not the same as radio where they actually do 3 hours.
But they don't really do 3 hours.
Because of all the commercials. Yeah, because of all the commercials. But do an hour and a half. John, there's plenty of stuff we can deconstruct. We've lived enough life to have some background on most of these things. Certainly you have,
that's right, boy.
So thank you all very much. It's highly appreciated. And keep it going and get more people listening and get more people donating.
Get more people listening because you never know. But no agenda.
Noagendashow.com, dvorak.org/NA. I'm afraid to ask almost if we have had any other signups for the...
We've had no more signups. I think by Thursday we don't get this thing half full, we'll have to cancel the dinner and schedule something more interesting. Because I guess people just, you know, nobody's around. We got people in South Africa. There's a number of people that can make it to Las Vegas on that night seems to be limited.
I have an idea. Maybe we could do... a one-off show that you couldn't get into unless you would, and it wouldn't have to be $500, obviously, unless you had donated in some way, and it could be a live forum or something. I'm thinking.
Yeah, we'll take suggestions for ideas for money making, and put them in the hopper.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, go to dvorak.org/NA or noagendashow.com and sign up.
So before we go, I just wanted to mention that
we have two things to talk about. We got the dinner review, and we still have the two to the head.
Why don't we keep the dinner review? Because
you want to do the dinner review?
Because we're
Thursday?
Kind of running out of time. The dinner review will take a long time. It'll take another 10 minutes, and this we can be done with pretty quickly. Ex-Governor Rod Blagojevich's aide Christopher Kelly, who was already set to go to jail for $8.5 million fraud. Yeah, I guess he took payoffs for some roofing contract. Uh huh. At O'Hare International Airport.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
But he was also
O'Hare in Chicago, eh?
Yeah, you don't say, eh? He was also indicted and was set to testify in the Blagojevich trial. He took an overdose of aspirin and died.
Overdose of aspirin.
I'm not kidding you. An overdose of aspirin.
How much aspirin do you have to take? Is there anything in the story about that?
Please. No, of course there's not. Of course not. So this guy, you know, and Blagojevich is back in the news. You know, he's written his book, and I'm not quite sure which side he's on, but this is obviously about, he says that Rahm Emanuel literally told him, hey, man, I want you to take care of this this Senate seat for me, because when I'm, after like 2 years in the Obama administration, I want to get out. I want to get back into my seat of real power, of course, because, you know, that's where you've got some power, particularly if you're in the Chicago club. And, so Blagojevich, being a good soldier, did so. And of course, he got busted. And, so I have a feeling that, that this, Kelly guy probably had some information that people didn't want him to, let see the light of day.
That's why I always like to invite, if you know, if anybody out there, you end up with information that you know would be extremely damaging to the power structure. I mean, what we do here is, of course, just deconstruct stuff and just assume, you know, and let chips fall where they may. But we don't really know anything. But if you ever have that kind of information and something like this comes up, I would advise you to just get out of the country.
Yeah, just leave. Just forget
get
about it and leave
of the country.
Now, there is one other. There is a little bit of a theory here, John. Of course, you could also say, because remember, this guy's about to go to jail. He's indicted to testify. You know, I haven't seen a body.
He's kind of small potatoes to be pulling that stunt, don't you think?
I don't know. You don't know. I mean, this goes all the way. This is, you know, this is related to Tony Rezgo. This is related. So it's directly related to Obama, to Rahm Emanuel.
No, you know, he could be in Costa Rica.
There's a lot going on there. And then I just wanted to say who was that guy we were talking about at dinner who was just released from jail? The crazy senator with the wig.
Oh yeah, you could remember his name. I can never remember
James.
Put on the Thursday list. Yeah. Crazy senator.
Yeah,
maybe somebody in the chat room knows.
Yeah,
crazy senator with a wig.
Trafficant.
Yeah.
Trafficant. Yeah. He went to jail for 7 years. He was the only guy ever to get out of a RICO charge by representing himself, and basically they set him up. But this guy is on television saying, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, I just want you to know that Israel controls the Senate and the Congress. And of course, he did the big no-no. This is the one you never do. He says, Israel controls all of our media. Oops. That's a good way to get suicided, James. Interesting guy. Keep your eye on him. James Trafficant.
You know, that's just another, to me, he's just another Jew hater.
Yeah, he probably is. But you know, interesting entertainment.
Yeah, I know, it's entertaining to a point. But it reminds me of that crazy video you sent me. If you just looked in the behind the scenes on all those people that were responsible for producing that thing, they're all a bunch of Nazis. I mean, it's unconscionable. I mean, the fact of the matter is the media, I mean, last time I looked, is really controlled by Wall Street.
Thank you. I think Wall Street and the Democrats, actually. I think the Democrats control Fox News.
Yeah, you have this theory. I have not bought into that one yet.
Stick around.
I mean, I know that Fox News has been a little flaky on a number of things. And one of the more interesting ones, and I just want to mention this at the last thing, is, you know, we have this local talk show host here in San Francisco called Michael Savage.
Yeah.
And Michael Savage,
He was the guy that was forbidden entry to the UK.
Yeah, he was put on a terrorist list.
Yeah, terrorist watch list.
And none of the news media would even mention this, and he harped on it. In fact, I think it hurt his feelings, although he's kind of a nutty guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Fox News and all these other right-wingers, you'd think they would say, hey, this could happen to me, or, you know, as far as they were concerned, I know what they were thinking. They're thinking, ha-ha, this is so funny that that asshole finally got, you know, something happened to him. You know, it's just the way these guys are, because everybody's kind of jealous of each other. But nobody wanted to report on it. And it's actually an abomination.
And then one that I've been moving this story on for 3 weeks now. 3 weeks. And you're not seeing it in mainstream news, but Benjamin Netanyahu since we're talking about Israel, made a surprise and covert visit to Russia to meet with
Putin or the other guy,
Medvedev.
No, yeah, that guy.
And and he did it on a private jet. On what was it? I'm trying to think. Israeli millionaire Yossi Maimon on his private jet. And the way they did it is they actually had the jet diverted. And this is all documented. They had the jet diverted. It was supposedly flying to, well, not to Russia, that's for sure. And then they had to land in Russia. And first, the prime minister, Netanyahu's spokesman denied it. And then there was so much irrefutable proof that he actually was there. They said, okay, well, it was a secret meeting and we didn't want anyone to know about it. Yeah, no kidding. And the assertion is that it's about the Arctic Sea and the missiles, apparently, that were on that. You know, this was supposed to be like wood or something that this thing had in cargo, and it was all of a sudden it went missing, it was hijacked, or pirates had gotten a hold of it. And so the story is that the Russians were actually sending missiles and anti-cruise missile devices to Iran, and that the what's heating up now, of course, is that Israel may possibly be gearing up for a strike against Iran, and there's more shit going on there that you won't hear about in the news.
So you don't think that Netanyahu didn't go to Russia to tell Medvedev to tell the Russian mob to take the heat off of Madoff because you know,
dude, totally possible. I like it, John. I'll take that as a theory too. I'd like that one much more than the idea of global thermal nuclear war. Yeah. I much more prefer that.
It makes more sense to me.
All right, I'm going to go study. I'm going to go get some pipes. I've got a building site across the street. Maybe I can steal some of their pipes and create my own cloud buster.
Yeah, Cloudbuster. We have to work on that. So, okay. And by the way, Lothian, I've noticed, is in Scotland near Edinburgh.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay, so lots to do on Thursday. I will be in the Netherlands for the next show. I'm going back briefly for just a few days, picking up my daughter, coming back. So I'll be back at the end of the week. But we'll bring you a show as scheduled, because that's what you're paying for. Coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in the undisclosed loft location, still under threat of eminent domain removal and destruction, in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, I'm Adam Curry.
And from the overcast northern Silicon Valley, where I'm very suspicious about this weather, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Thursday, right here on No Agenda.